Hello everybody, this is Excalibur of Excalibur's Own Gaming, and last night was a pre-release for Fates Reforged, the second set in the Cons of Tarkir block. And started at midnight at my FLGS, Richmond Comics, and consisted of four rounds. I picked the Jeskai set, white, blue, and red, because I was hoping to get the new legend. Shu, I believe his name is. Let me just double check on the website here. Mythic. There we go. And, yep, Shuyu in the Silent Tempest. That was my goal. I wanted to get him. I'm also looking at getting the other five the other five legendaries, cons-based legendaries. There's Dauphtar the Adamant, or Dogtar the Adamant, three and a white. There's Shu Yun, two and a blue. Tassiger the Golden Fang, five and a black. Alicia who smiles at death, two and a red. She is off the hook. And Yasova Dragonclaw, she is also off the hook. I need to get those last two cards. And Yasova's a two and a green, and Alicia's two and a red. Well, my main pulls last night included the new black-red legendary dragon, Dogtar. Let me see. It's so new, I can't even remember his name. Just trying to find it in Mythic Spoilers, because that is a really good place to find stuff. We've got to go down to Multicolor. There we go. It's, I pulled, Caliphon the Storm's Fury, or Caligon the Storm's Fury. I think it's Caliphon, because at GH you can use it like in rough. But anyway, I got that. I pulled a Jeskai Ascendancy, and I also pulled Ugin the Spirit Dragon. Ugin is off the hook scary good. Every time he hit the table, it was a win. Unfortunately, my record was 0 and 2. So, it was 0-2, 2-0, 1-1 and 1, and then 1 and 2. So, I ended up playing out with 1 win, 2 losses, and a draw. Either everybody got 2 packs, because I didn't think I did that well, or the last guy I went up against, we said good game, shook hands after I killed him and I would have won the match. And the next thing I know, he says, wait a minute, and goes back and does some tapping and ends up overrunning because he had missed something he had in his hand. And then after the good game and everything, he went back and did moves that ended up winning him the game. Now, since it wasn't a super competitive tournament or anything like that, I went ahead and let it slide. I was irritated. But either he split his prize pack with me, or we both got 2 packs. So, either or, I got some prize support. So I got 2 packs of Fate there, and I got 2 intro packs while I was there. And I saved the booster packs for a D6 crack pack that's going to happen on later today. There was a lot of shenanigans that went all over the place. There is a really, really cool common dragon in mono red that I actually pulled. He has Dash. Let me see if I can find him. Here he is, the Lightning Shrieker. Flying, Trample, and Haste. Nope, he doesn't have Dash, but he's got Haste. Flying, Trample, and Haste, and at the beginning of the end step, Lightning Shrieker's owner shuffles it into his or her library. That thing packs a wallop. It's only a casting cost of 5. And 1 red and 4 colorless. So he is a really good powerhouse in mono red. And I can see him being put in a lot of red wind stacks. There were a couple other cool cards I got here and there, like Light Form. I have a foil Light Form, which when it enters the battlefield, it becomes an aura with enchant creature. And you manifest the top card of your library and attach life form to it. Enchanted creature has flying and lifelink. Now, that is a really cool enchantment. And you can set it out when you don't have enough mana to cast creatures. And you get a creature off the top of your deck. And of course, with Manifest, you can turn it face up at any time for its mana cost if it's creature guard. So it's like turning any and all of your cards into morph. And Manifest is really cool. So I'm going to be looking at a couple of these new mechanics really, really, really closely. First is going to be Dash. Dash is a very awesome in aggro decks. You get some flash creatures going, you're going to kick some butt if you can get them out quickly, because they go right back to your hand unless they're blocked and killed or something like that. The standard environment has changed because of these mechanics. There's also Manifest. Manifest turns your entire library into creatures, and especially if you get cards that allow you to do that. Let's see if I can find it. I pulled the enchantment that, the white enchantment that allows you to manifest your deck, for the most part, for one white and four others. Let's see here. Just trying to find it so that you know what card I'm talking about. Oh, it's Mastery of the Unseen. One and a white. That's all it costs. Whenever a permanent you control is turned face up, you gain one life for each creature you control. Very, very awesome card. I got that out, and once that hit play, I was manifesting my deck left and right. I chose a lot of the cards in my deck so that it was creature heavy, so I could actually use Mastery of the Unseen on it. And for three and a white, it's an ability, manifest the top card of your library. So I was able to put up instant blockers that confused my first opponent, because it was the first time this had happened, and he attempted to destroy the creature as it was manifesting. But his spell went on the stack, and then it triggered and went off, and then my creature came onto the battlefield because of the ability from Master of the Unseen. So his spell should have fizzled, but we rewound since it was a new one, a new mechanic, and I let him kill my creature after, when he got priority and declare blockers phase. So there are a lot of pretty cool cards in the set. I'm looking forward to collecting some of them. I made my first trade last night for a Hero's Blade. Equipped creature gets +3/+2. Whenever a legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may attach Hero's Blade to it. +3/+2. In a tiny leader's deck, this thing is going to be off the hook, especially when you're running a Kemba deck, which is what I'm doing. Hero's Blade is going into it immediately. That is the only artifact equipment in this set, and it's one of the ones that I wanted for my Kemba tiny leader's deck, which you'll see a deck tech of later on this month as well, probably within the next couple of days, because I need to get a deck tech for the month done, and Tiny Leaders Tournament is coming up. I need to find a Stoneforge Mystic to throw in there, and once I get that and this sword in, it will be awesome sauce, because it's a turn 2 drop, and then when your Tiny Leader hits, it gets attached to it immediately. And it's mono white, so things that are going to go into my mono white decks, my mono white Tiny Leaders deck, the Wandering Champion. Deals combat damage to a player. If I control a blue or red permanent, I may discard and draw. That's not worth it. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2. And vigilance, as long as you control a black or green permanent. Just the +2/+2, not really worth it. Abzan advantage, sacrifice an enchantment, bolster one. Bolster is another mechanic that seems okay. It's a lot like heroic, but it's a slightly different. You choose a creature with the least toughness among creatures you control and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Bolsters, it's kind of interesting. I don't know how well it'll be used. I'll have to take a look at that. And let's see here. Arishin Cleric enters the battlefield. You gain 3 life. Aven Skirmisher has flying for 1/1. Channel Harm. Nope. The Dragonbell Monk is really interesting. He's got prowess, and in an equipment-heavy deck, he is going to be off the hook. An enchantment heavy deck he's going to go off the hook. So there are a lot of things, and his prowess is whenever you cast. So it's got to be a cast thing. You can't use like Bruno's ability to attach stuff. And there's a lot of cool low casting cost cards like Sandblast. It's a 3-drop, 5 damage target attacking or blocking creature. That's really good. Sandstep Outcast. He gets a +1/+1 counter, which makes him a 3/2 for 3. Or you put a 1/1 spirit creature token out of the battlefield. So you get 2 creatures for the price of 3, a 2/1 and a 1/1. Or you get a 1/1 counter on him. That is awesome. Rally the Ancestors. Return each creature card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Exile those creatures at the beginning of your next upkeep. Exile. Rally the Ancestors. So this is a great way, if you don't have a lot of graveyard recursion, to just throw it in there. All your creatures go into the graveyard, you just smack that out there, and bloop, attack. Oh yeah, let's see here. Return each creature card with converted mana cost extra loss from your graveyard to the battlefield, and exile them at the beginning of your next upkeep. So you, unless you have haste, this isn't going to work, but it's a great way to block with your dead. And there's a battlefield under your control. Mardu Woe Reaper. Sorry, whenever Mardu Woe Reaper or another warrior enters the battlefield under your control, you may exile target creature card from graveyard. If you do, you gain a life. So you can kill off delve stuff. The Jeskai Barricade is a wall with flash, defender. When it enters the battlefield, you may return another creature you control to its owner's hands. There is a lot of that bounce mechanic going on of bouncing your creatures to your hands. And it is very, very awesome because there's a lot of things that do end of the battlefield effects. The Monastery Mentor has prowess that creates monks. He is off the hook. You get him in a Tiny Leader's deck, you're going to be having a lot of fun. The Dragon Scale General is a good one. Bolster X, where X is the number of tapped creatures you control. So I went up against a guy who had Dragon Scale General and just... his creatures were beasts by the end of that. I was lucky enough to get Ugin out and exile all casting cost, I think it was 6 or less, which took out everything on the board, and then I overran with Ugin. That was just wonderful. So there are a lot of things here that really, really will help a Tiny Leader's deck, whether you're multicolor, monocolor, or what. Harsh Sustenance is... I think that's what was used to go up against my manifest. Harsh Sustenance deals X damage to target creature or player, and you gain X life, where X is the number of creatures you control. So that's a really good... I'm not sure. It's a black-white, so it's an Orzhov card. Then there's Grim Contest, which was used against me as well. Choose target creature you control and target creature an opponent controls. Each of these creatures deals damage equal to its toughness to the other. Equal to the toughness. And that's a key there. That's pretty fun. You get something with a big toughness, and you will take somebody out pretty good. Pretty quickly. Target creature you can go +1/+1. So, Scroll of the Masters is an artifact. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a lore counter on it. For 3 and a tap, a creature gets +1/+1 till end of turn for each lore counter. The Hewed Stone Retainers. Only if you've cast another spell. They are 4/4 for 3 artifact creature golem. Some golem love in this set. It is awesome. There's also Pilgrim of the Fates, which is the 7 first strike and trample, 6/4. He is really good as well. And let's see here. Crucible of the Spirit Dragon is... the only really special land here. 1 tap, put a storage counter on Crucible of the Spirit Dragon, remove X storage counters, add X mana and a combination of colors to your mana pool, or mana pool, spend the mana only to cast dragon spells or activate abilities of dragons. So you either have one colorless or you have rainbows for your multicolor dragons. Fetch lands and stuff like that are... I didn't see any fetch lands here. I think they're Khan's fetch lands. But they are replacing the basic lands and booster packs with fetch lands and life gain lands. There are no bounce lands here. So This is a really, really cool set. I think it's better than Khan's. And my main focus, there were two cards that I really wanted. Three if you count the Blade of Heroes. I really wanted to get Ugin, and I really wanted Xu Yun. So I got two of the three cards that I've been really looking for. And that Monastery Mentor. Let me just double check what his name is. Yeah, Monastery Mentor. He's another one that I want. Because I'm actually trying to put together a Monk EDH, a Monk and Cleric most likely. Or possibly a Monk and Thief deck. Or something with two character classes from D&D. Maybe I'll put together a D&D party deck where I've got a bunch of parties put together that work together in with a good synergy. But last night, there was a really good turnout. There were so many people there that I think there were 40 that showed up at Richmond Comics last night. And there is not going to be a pre-release event on Sunday because Richmond Comics did not get the product or prize support necessary to continue moving forward with the pre-release schedule as everybody wanted from this weekend. So it's really, really good. I might have to go, if I want to get into another pre-release, I'll have to go someplace else, unfortunately. I probably will not. This is a really good set for both EDH and Tiny Leaders. Tiny Leaders being a subset of EDH, by the way. And you'll find out more about that when I do my deck tech for my Kemba deck. I am looking at doing a couple other decks, one of them being Xu Yun and a bunch of Ping creatures. So, like, is it Static Caster and Prodigal Sorcerer? Anything that costs three or less goes in Tiny Leaders. And I might actually look at doing a Boros deck with Alicia who smiles at death. Well, actually, she's more than just Boros. She's red, black, and white. So that she's Mardu. So a Mardu deck is going to be really, really cool. And we'll see exactly how everything turns out. We'll have to find out. So until next time, enjoy playing games. Enjoy playing Magic the Gathering. And support your local FLGS when you do play Magic. I mean, Magic the Gathering Online is cool and all, but go down to your local game store and enjoy playing some Magic there with people face to face. It's a far more rewarding experience. I really enjoy playing in tournaments. It's a little irritating from time to time, the shenanigans you run up against, but it's a lot better than yelling at a computer screen. You can at least see the person on the other side, and a lot of times when they pull something crappy on you to win the game, you can see that they really didn't like doing it, and it makes you feel a little bit better. At least seeing it in person, that helps ease the pain. Please like, comment, and subscribe. It really helps me to know that you guys are watching this stuff and what you'd like to see more of. It really, really helps me out because you let me know what you want to see and I can work on getting more of what you want there. Also, if you could visit www.patreon.com/ExcaliburZone and become a patron, go there, find out more about it, and it would really help me out. Gets me closer to doing this full time. As always, this is Excalibur. And I am out.